Good morning. I am very glad to be back. Sometimes they say distance makes the heart grow fonder. Well, distance away from church can make your heart grow fonder for the brothers and sisters you miss. So I'm very thankful to be here. Anyways, maybe let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can gather together freely in your name. And I ask that you would encourage us this morning with your word and with our time we to spend with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to share just for a short period this morning, and then Joel's going to share after me. But there's one specific verse I want to talk about. And before I talk about it, I want to talk about one word, and it's the word spur. So some people can think of different things, but when I think of the word spur, I used to think of the things that went on the back of my cowboy boots. They allowed me to apply pressure to the side of the horse. So if you're going along a trail and there's a tree coming, a horse will naturally miss the tree, but they don't realize that they need to move about 8 inches more because you have a leg there. So you put a little pressure, and if it's a stubborn horse, you need to put on more pressure, and the spur will help do that. A well-trained horse, you may not need a spur. Just a little squeeze on that side and the horse will move over, which is nice. In the same way, if you're working in the barn and you want to pick up that hoof to be able to clean it out, if it's standing on there, I can't pick it up, and a stubborn horse won't let you pick it up. But if you just take your knuckle and just push into the ribs a little bit and push harder, they'll shift their weight and boom, you can pick it up. A spur allows you to cause there to be a response that you're looking for. And some of you can probably guess what verse I'm thinking about. Any guesses?
Spur one another on.
There it is, right? Hebrews 10. Let's turn there. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And this word spur, I looked it up in the Greek, and it can be translated different ways, and some of your versions will have other ways as well. For me, in the New King James, it says stir, not spur. I think the NIV uses spur. Some, in the Greek, it says it means to incite. Incite. C-I-T-E. Incite. In other words, it's trying to get a response. Right? For kids, sometimes your parents might say, stop bugging. What they're saying is stop provoking. Right? In other words, kids sometimes will do certain things, and they're trying to get a response out of one of their siblings sometimes. Right? Well, in the same way, we are supposed to try to do something to try to get a response. Verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up, provoke, right? Spur one another to love and good works. Right? To stir up love and good works. We're trying to do something to one another to get a response, to get people to love more and to do good deeds. That's what we're supposed to do. So the question I have is, how do we provoke one another or incite one another to love more and to do more good? How do we do that? What do we do to cause that to happen? And so this morning, Sunday school was an example, right? I didn't know what was happening in Sunday school, but what happened this morning? Maddie was very intentional, and what was she trying to do? She was trying to get a response out of the kids. She wanted to teach them something. She told them this amazing real-life story, obviously with some different names, etc., but for a purpose, to try to get the kids to want to pray, to try to get a response. She was trying to provoke them, incite them to prayer. Wow. That was great. That's what we should be doing on a regular basis to one another. And like she said, probably many of us in our homes are doing things for that purpose. But look at the next verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, and so much more as we know that Jesus is returning soon. So there's two things I noticed here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which in the context of the verse, I think means we should be coming together as a church. But we need to be getting fellowship. Fellowship, I think, is an important way to stir up love and good deeds. Fellowship helps that happen. And the second thing I see here is, it says, and exhorting one another. Exhorting, encouraging, right? One another. So I believe these two things I think it can go beyond this, but these two things are going to help us to stir up love and good deeds. Fellowship and exhortation. Fellowship and exhortation. So first of all, what does it look like for fellowship? Sometimes fellowship happens on a phone call. Sometimes it happens in the basement lunch during church, after church, right? Throughout the week, hopefully we're having fellowship, right? Yes, on Sunday mornings as well, but other times as well. Are we taking an interest in others? Are we having time to listen intently, taking note of what they're interested in? Because in doing so, you have an opportunity to encourage them as well, right? Build them up, right? Do we take time to bear one another's burdens? That often happens through fellowship. As you're talking, you get to hear what their burden is, what they're struggling with. Maybe what it's a concern they have, that's something they're praying about. You can join together with them in prayer, right? That's one other way that we can have fellowship, and through that, we can start to build each other up. Another one was, I think through fellowship, we have opportunity to share how God has helped us, maybe through something similar, and build somebody else's faith, right? Another one would be sharing what God is encouraging you with, right? So my wife was encouraging me this morning with what she was encouraged by in two of the Psalms. That's encouraging to me, and it helps me have that same passage come to mind when different thoughts might come at me. She was sharing about Psalm 11 and about how God is sitting on his throne and how it says the men of the earth are planning all these wicked schemes. And nowadays we see lots of crazy things going on, and they're trying to pass laws, and oh, I didn't even know what was happening. And God sees it all. He's going to render justice to each one according to what they have done, to the wicked and to the righteous. It doesn't go past God's eye. God is on his throne. It's a great reminder. And then she talked about praising his name in Psalm 12, and she was sharing these things with me. But now all of a sudden I have these things, and I can be reminded of these things throughout the week, right? So I don't have to be shaken. So she was encouraging me. And then we can also be an example by the way we live our lives. So through fellowship with one another, we're being an example to one another. So for example, yesterday, my wife and I were away. We went and got to visit my father-in-law, who's in a care home. Many of you know he had a major heart attack, and he's been there for a little while now. And so what's he talking about? He's talking about the guy on the down the hall who's, he said, a little rough around the edges. Actually, he said he's just really rough. But he's like, I got to go visit him, right? I got to share with him about Jesus, right? This is his goal. And I'm sitting there on the couch thinking, man, I got two legs that walk. I got freedom to go everywhere. And here he is stuck right in this little place. And what's he about? God's business, right? How much more I should be? Isn't that true? I can go everywhere. And yet there he is being faithful in his very confined little space. Really, he can't really get out of that hall on his own initiative. And even then it's very hard to move. He does that with his one leg trying to pull his wheelchair along. Very, very, very slowly. Doesn't happen a lot. But he's trying to be about God's business. So as he's being an example, he's being an example to me through a little bit of fellowship. So fellowship is really important to stir up love and good deeds. Second thing was specific encouragement. Some in this body have like the gift to be an encourager. But I think this applies to all of us. We need to specifically encourage people. Some people, I can just observe them. Man, they can find little things to encourage people all the time. That is awesome. But what about me? Am I looking for things? Or how many times do I see and go, man, that's actually really good, but I don't say a word? That's not right. I need to specifically encourage. So yesterday I observed one of the moms in this fellowship teaching her children about caring for others who are hurting, going through a challenging time. And I was like, man, that's really good. She's teaching her kids, and she's stirring up love and good deeds in her kids. But what about us? Do we observe that act and the effort that went into that and actually say something? That's important. Some of the mothers here, I heard, I didn't see, but they took their kids and they went with some who were kind of shut in over the Christmas, and they went to sing songs with them. That's really good. What are they doing? They're teaching their kids to care about those who are less fortunate, but they took the time to do it. Good job. We need to do that. Keep doing those things, right? teaching our kids, great, but taking time for those that are maybe not healthy at the time and they can't get in and out and about, that's really important. Those are the kind of things we need to be doing, right? I know some, they go and they help clean at people's homes that can't get out, and no one pays them, no one asks them, and they just go. That's really good. We were away. My parents have mobility issues. And I told my wife, good job. If it wasn't for her, the trip wouldn't be the same. She was concerned about all the meals and doing all the work and getting up early and making sure everything was ready for people to make it happen. Like, she needs to be encouraged. I'm giving this as an example. I need to do that. I don't have to tell the whole church. But husbands, wives, are we seeing things in our spouses? Are we seeing things in our brothers and sisters in the church? Are we seeing things in our kids that we can specifically tell them, hey, you did a really good job on some even natural things. Start there. But then when we see them go out of their way and they see actually some kind of like good, godly character, do we actually mention it? Not just maybe go and pray about it and say, God, thank you, but do we actually like tell them specific encouragement, exhorting one another? Let's do that. And exhorting, I think, sometimes can also mean more than encouragement. Sometimes we actually have to say, hey, there's an opportunity. You could show love in a way like this. I'd like you to try to do this. I heard a man once say, voluntold become volunteers. First, you have to tell them, hey, this is what it might look like, right? But then they start to do it. And so that's kind of part of exhorting as well. And so I wanted to encourage us in those things. Pretty simple, but we want to be those that are stirring up one another toward love and good deeds. And there's much more to this. I was thinking this could be a whole Friday night. Everyone could be bringing things and sharing on how we can do this and build this within our body, that we're all stirring each other up to love and good deeds, that we'd be growing in that in this 2026. By the end of the year, we'd be having more love for one another. I'm going to share one more thing about sharing verses. And this was a verse I was encouraged by. 1 John 4. Because part of having fellowship is sharing what God is encouraging you with. And here's a verse I think is important. And it's about the love that God has for us. And when we remind each other, this is something we need to meditate on regularly, the love that God has for us, so that it then causes there to be an effect in us. And it causes us to love others. So 1 John 4, I'm going to do verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you know and do you believe that God loves you? God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this. In other words, when you believe that God loves you, it's going to eventually, by the goal is for it to be perfected or brought to completion or maturity in you. The fact that God loves you, when that comes to completion or maturity in you or perfected among you, what's going to happen? We're going to have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The way that Jesus walked in the world is the way that we are going to be able to walk in this world. And it all comes from knowing the love that God has for us. Do we know and believe the love that God has for us? And so we need to encourage each other with that as well. That's just an example of how we can encourage one another. Anyways, I'll let Joel come up and share.